Well, good morning, everybody. We'll get started with the meeting today. Hopefully the traffic wasn't too much of a nightmare with the homeless lane being closed outside. So thank you for coming to the meeting. I'd like to start off announcing that Carl Schultz will not be here today. His father passed away, and so he had to take some time off. So we'll give Carl our condolences. Sorry to hear that. Next, we have two new members on the committee. The first is Tim Munzing. He's a physician at Kaiser and the residency director. Tim sits over here to my left. I used to work with his wife. She was a nurse at Mission. So welcome, and thank you for being a part of the committee.
Thank you.
And then our next new member, and Tim represents the 3rd District for the Board of Supervisors. And then our other new member is Ted Hymine, who's from the 5th District Board of Supervisors, and he's an emergency physician at Chalk and Orange. Thank you and welcome to the committee. Next on the agenda is the approval of the minutes. If you want to take a minute to look at those, I've already reviewed them and did not see any additions or changes that I felt needed to be made. And if there's no opposition, we'll approve those.
Motion to approve.
Next on the agenda is the Orange County EMS report and correspondence. First would be the medical director's report.
So I'm taking over for Dr. Schultz in his absence. Most of what we're going to cover today on the agenda would ordinarily be in this report, so I'll keep this quite brief. Just a couple of things. We have implemented now the policy requiring the ACCDs, the automatic chest compression devices, and that's garnering some media attention right now, and I think there's going to be an interview coming up pretty soon with the medical director. It's flu season, and we're starting to get into full swing, and that's affected EMS, and we'll talk about that a little bit with the diversion report. Influenza B being the most prominent. Some say this is going to be an ugly season, but we'll see. It's so far pretty typical right now. I think that's.
You're going to cover patient offload times as well?
I guess the next thing is hospital diversion. That packet is in your, or that topic is in your packet right now. The diversion numbers are fairly typical with a couple of spikes in the summer and toward the end of the year, as you can probably see. But the numbers are there for you to look at, and we've separated the county into different geographical regions to be able to observe trends and such. But the numbers are fairly typical, and we've been working on limiting those as much as we can. At the same time, the ambulance patient offload time report, that's also in your packet. Obviously, the two are intertwined, but we have year-end totals. You can see that the numbers have actually decreased over time, and so hospitals are doing their best to keep the ambulances off the walls. In that, you can see mean times, median times as well. What we focus on is the 90th percentile APOT time, and that's basically the threshold that we have for 90% of the patients to get offloaded and report given.
And our goal is to try and be under 30 minutes, is that?
We don't have a set goal at this time. Did you want to comment?
No, I just want to summarize. We don't have a set goal at this time. I believe 2.5 to 3 years ago, there was a recommendation by a facilities committee of 35 minutes, and that was before we had all of this detailed information. That was taken to EMCC, and there was still disagreement because obviously the fire service wanted 10 minutes, ambulance wanted 20, and hospitals although a lot of them and most of them were hovering around 30, there were a couple of significant outliers. So at that time, we decided, let's just ride the data. We're not required to establish a local standard. And once we do, then we have to figure out what are we going to do when, after we do that. So we've now ridden the data for 2.5 years. And just to summarize the average, in 2018, we looked at 157,000 transports, and that showed an average of 26 minutes flat. So 90% of the time, patients were being offloaded to the ER bed within 26 minutes. In 2019, the transport number went up about almost 10,000 to 165,747, and that APOT time was 26 minutes and 51 seconds. So our data is showing 26. So if later we want to look at establishing a standard, the agency's recommendation would be to let's base it on the data that we have. And this is now taking into consideration 2 years of flu season and summers. And so I'll just leave it at that. But we don't have a local standard, and that's okay.
Thank you. Next on there for the director's report is the 911 emergency ambulance transport contract performance, which is attachment number 4.
Mr. Rodriguez will comment on that.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Little correction on this. It's not the mid-year report. It's the first quarter report. And so, you know, the contractors have been doing a great job, and they're maintaining the 90% compliance above that, and it's continuing. So, but again, I just want to make sure that this is the first quarter report. Mid-year is closing at this month, and that report will be complete for the next meeting. Okay?
Great. Thank you. Next is EMS correspondence, which is attachment number 5.
This is just for review and file. The correspondence are letters or memos that were issued to the EMS system as a whole, which would have meant that the EMCC members would have received it as well. And most of it has to do with identifying a provider's no longer doing a certain service. There's been a medication dosing change, and that the agency is moving to the new age of we're no longer accepting cash and paper checks. So that was the extent of that correspondence.
Great. Thank you. Next is EMCC Advisory Subcommittee and Advisory Group reports. So first would be facilities.
So facilities committee was held back in November. We mentioned this last meeting, but due to state regulations, we had to make some changes in our cardiac receiving facility policy as well as our stroke receiving facility policy, and we also made a change in the comprehensive children's emergency receiving center policy. Those were sent out for public comment, and that process is finished and they are now implemented. There was also a discussion about the pediatric trauma collaborative. I can defer to Dr. Gibbs if you want to talk a little bit about that.
In addition to being the OCMA rep, one of the other hats I wear is as the trauma director at CHOC, and one of four within the county that work closely together. And we were surveyed by the American College of Surgeons this week. This was a consultative visit, not a final visit, to achieve pediatric level 1 trauma verification, which would be the second level 1 trauma center in the county and the first pediatric level 1. And at this point, the surveyors were strongly supportive of moving ahead. They were also supportive of the upgrade from level 2 to 1. and were very encouraging about the prospects. They did emphasize the need for raising the bar even a little bit more, and this happens every time with PI, performance improvement documentation. The other trauma surgeons here can relate to that, and we anticipate to have those fixes that they requested in place by March and a survey by the end of the year. They did like the fact that there is a county-wide trauma collaborative. They were very appreciative of the involvement of the county. They noted the ACS system-wide survey, although they didn't directly comment on that. But it was a very, very helpful exercise to do. And I think the final point they emphasize is if you want to do performance improvement correctly, you need to resource it adequately. We're going to have to do two additional hires. And I think that's a theme you're going to hear on their discussion of the county as well, that this is central to the maintenance of a trauma system and certainly of a trauma program.
Thank you. Anything else from facilities?
No.
Next is County Paramedic Advisory Committee.
So we just met on Wednesday, and basically the things that we're talking about today in the agenda is what we covered in that meeting. Nothing really remarkable or new.
Okay. Next is the Transportation Advisory Committee.
I'll just take it. Even though I wasn't there, Jim, you were there, so can you cover it? I can cover some of it.
Yes, it was pretty much pro forma report. There wasn't anything really super exciting. It was a lot of reports that this committee also received. Yeah. I don't know if you think there's something specific that we should cover.
The only thing, I read the minutes and yep. I went through it, and there was discussion about the 2020 licensing procedures. Just to let this committee know, we are bound by the county ordinance to issue ambulance company licenses and vehicle permits on an annual basis. It's our preference to do it periodically, but we're bound by the ordinance to do it on a calendar year. So the last quarter of every single year is a mad dash for our office and for the ambulance companies to get everything in order for that process. So that was what was discussed, because in the past couple of years we've really innovated that process and switched everything from a paper checklist to an electronic format where companies can get immediate, they may not get their sticker right away for the vehicles, but they'll get immediate feedback on whether or not they receive their license, which most 99.9% of the time they do. So that was pretty much it. Education and training group has not met. They're due to meet later this month.
Great, thank you. Next on the agenda, number six, is unfinished business. This is the American College of Surgeons Trauma Survey Consultation Report, which is attachment number six.
So I'm just going to kick this off, and then Dr. Schultz had created the PowerPoint to share with this group to explain and give a summary of the process and the report. He's not here. Dr. Graywall's going to do his best. And then also we have Dr. Stratton, who was here for the last, he was here for the last 10 years, but for this particular process was very involved. As you know, we had a multidisciplinary team which was built up from ACS of trauma surgeons, emergency physicians, and trauma program managers, and some technical experts. They conducted a comprehensive assessment of the trauma system. This included a site review on which many stakeholders attended and participated. I believe we had at least 90 Orange County hospital reps, other county reps, we had great participation. As part of the consultation, we specifically asked the team to describe the impact of changes to trauma center configuration on various system components such as access, volume, and transport times. In sum, the response was that the geographic and population coverage of the county was excellent, and the decision to continue the current model or to reconfigure the system must be made locally and with consideration of potential impacts to existing trauma centers. So with that, let's I'll give it to Dr. Graywall.
Thank you, Tammy. So Tammy covered a lot of what's in this slide presentation. It's going to be a brief presentation, but hopefully it'll give you a good overview of what exactly transpired in this analysis. So the background is that in 2017 there were some issues by various stakeholders to examine the trauma system and whether or not we needed to reconfigure the system, including adding another trauma center. At that time, EMS embarked on a review of the system and an analysis that included the things that that Tammy just talked about: population, transport times, acuity, and in the hospital, diversion and APOT times. The analysis was done in 2018, and a white paper was produced with the conclusion that at this time we didn't need to add another trauma center. Due to kind of further concerns with the conclusions of that white paper, we decided to consult with the American College of Surgeons to get a full trauma analysis of the system, not of the facilities. Of course, the ACS comes out and does facility evaluations and looks at individual trauma centers, but this was an evaluation of the entire system. We're a very mature trauma center. We're one of the oldest in the country, and we do a great job of taking care of patients, as the surveyors identified. But they did want to look deeper down into the system as well and identify any opportunities for improvement. So we brought them in July of last year, and they did an analysis of the system that, as Tammy said, gathered widespread participation of the various stakeholders within the county. And it was a three-day survey, and they gave us a pretty long analysis about their conclusions. They had multiple recommendations, and we identified at least 50, but we also had some high-priority recommendations as well. So the key kind of areas that they discussed these recommendations were in the idea of trauma assessment, policy development, trauma assurance, and within this, the big themes that they identified in terms of how we perform within these topics relate to the themes of collaboration, leadership, analysis, and engagement. And so those are the kind of themes I'd like you to think about as we go through this and identify how we can improve our system based on their recommendations. So first of all, we will not add an additional trauma center at this time. Our population growth is stable. Our geographic coverage with the current trauma centers is excellent. Our transport times are very low, and almost everyone in the county, with very few exceptions, can get to a trauma center in a timely manner. In addition, our volumes are such that our current trauma center configuration allows for even excess capacity to what it has now comfortably. That being said, it's always important to keep an eye on how the system is coming along, following it closely, routinely, and doing a deeper analysis over time. So we will update our data every year to evaluate if things are not trending as we expect them to trend, and then what we have committed to do is a deeper analysis every 3 to 5 years to get a better overview of the system so we know we're also on track. So let me dig down to the recommendations. We identified about 8 high-priority ones that I'll talk about today. first of all, in terms of trauma system assessment, the reviewers identified the concept that within the agency we need to better work and collaborate with other parts of the healthcare agency, such as public health and epidemiology, to identify areas in the populations that need extra attention, mechanism, injury severity, patient characteristics, demographics, in order to focus more on injury prevention and collaborate within the healthcare agency to achieve those goals. In addition to that collaboration within the agency, there was an identified need for increased collaboration among trauma centers, and they recommended expanding our Regional Trauma Operations Committee, focusing on broader stakeholder engagement and increased functionality to achieve some of the things that we have analyzed in the agency that need improvement. With that, our leadership, they identify, needs to be improved to optimize the ability to identify the issues and then execute the solutions. So one of their key recommendations for our agency was to add a trauma system coordinator position to OCMS that can that has appropriate subject matter expertise, can help the system provide oversight and help provide leadership to the various trauma centers in organizing the various goals that we're going to have. And to achieve this, they also recommended a dedicated analyst to kind of dig down deep into the data. We recently had an intern who was very helpful and in identifying a lot of these demographic and epidemiological issues in trauma, and they looked at just some small components of that and identified the idea that this needs to be expanded as well. Trauma system assurance, so again, utilizing the data, the agency, the trauma centers, and the various stakeholders, including non-trauma centers, fire agencies, law enforcement, need to come together to ensure that the population is served in the best way it can be. As far as the disaster aspect of this, they also identified the need for non-trauma facilities to be an active participant, so they're able to handle injured patients during disasters and mass casualty events. So, finally, our goals are going to be, as I mentioned, to hire a trauma system manager and data analyst. And then in terms of the EMS level, in the Trauma Ops Committee, expand their role, not only in the Trauma Ops Committee, the role of stakeholders, but also have trauma branch out to the other committees to engage with them and improve the system from a trauma standpoint as well. We need to develop a QI plan in coordination with the various stakeholders to improve the system. I mentioned we need to enhance the healthcare coalition development to support disaster preparedness. And in order to do this, of course, it doesn't come at no cost, so we need to create a fee schedule to be able to make these changes. And Orange County is well behind other counties in terms of how much we collect from not only trauma centers, but from other hospitals to support the functions that we do. Any questions?
So we're gonna rearrange the schedule a little bit. First is from the members of the committee, And then next from the audience, we'll move to the public section regarding this. Is there any questions or comments from anybody in the audience who would like to address the committee?
There are four.
There's four?
Yes.
You can just call out the name.
Ken McFarland, Scott Rifkin, Ann Abi, and Humberto Sauri.
Okay. You want to come up? You can come up to the podium and address the committee.
Sorry, you can come up to the podium and address the committee. Morning.
Good morning. My name is Kim McFarland. I'm the CEO of Fountain Valley Regional Hospital and Medical Center. And I want to say it's good to be back in front of this important body. It's important to note that in June of 2018, following the encouragement of the previous EMS medical director, my hospital, Fountain Valley Regional, formally applied for a provisional status to become an adult level 2 trauma center, filling a key geographic void in West Orange County. Our application was accepted. Our fee was accepted and cashed. However, despite our investment in capital and staffing towards this important goal of becoming a provisional level 2 adult trauma center, the agency subsequently decided to suspend any process to add additional trauma and trauma surgery capacity. Instead, the agency initiated the American College assessment process that is before you today, along with the OCEMS summary of that important document. Nevertheless, please know Fountain Valley Regional remains committed to becoming a designated trauma center. We commend OCEMS for engaging the American College in order to better inventory and assess our current trauma system and generate the important documentation and recommendations to guide the overall management and operation of that system going forward. The college identified many strengths while also identifying challenges and deficiencies which need to be addressed in hopefully a very inclusive manner. We believe working collaboratively, we have the opportunity to improve and expand our county's capacity for trauma surgery and trauma care. And we see today's initial review of that assessment as an important first step in that direction. There are several important issues, however, unanswered questions and key missing data and elements that we believe the committee and the Board of Supervisors should review, consider, and receive to improve the trauma care in Orange County. And here are a few of those issues that I'd like to share with you today. And we'd like to share them with the Board of Supervisors as well. First, public input was part of the American College review process, yet the report does not properly reflect any of that content or that reference material. It is important for EMS advisory committees, local healthcare agencies and stakeholders of the public, as well as the Board of County Supervisors, to gauge the input of the key community stakeholders and first responders. Transparency demands that all public input be included in the report as an important addendum, so the perspectives of all parties, including our first responders, are included in the ongoing local dialogue. Therefore, we urge OCEMS to add this important information. We also understand that the local EMS pre-hospital providers were not included in the survey process as well. Their input should be solicited, also included as an addendum. In addition, the GIS mapping data used in the report references transport times without traffic, which does not accurately reflect typical traffic patterns, particularly in light of the 405 construction project that's currently underway. Mapping data should also include peak travel times so we can get a better assessment of those transport times and those key critical parts of the day. We also believe the assessment should include an evaluation of the county's ability to provide adequate trauma surge capacity during a mass casualty event. And finally, I want to reiterate that Orange County is in fact a de facto private safety net, making public-private partnerships the hallmark of the healthcare delivery in our county. We believe having Fountain Valley join the trauma system is a natural, organic way to better meet community need by modernizing and expanding these critical services and a key area of our county. Fountain Valley looks forward to working with you, working with the various committees that make up this important county. And while I really appreciate the commentary around language of excellence during the survey process, the report really does use the word good. And we do have a good system. We want to make it better, and we want to be a part of that going forward. So thank you for your time and your attention and dedication to this important work. Thank you.
Who's next?
Scott Rifkin.
Scott Rifkin.
Good morning.
Morning.
My name is Scott Rifkin. I'm the Regional Chief Operating Officer for KPC Healthcare. I'm here to talk to you today about a subject that's very important to our hospital system, and that is the current status of the trauma system in Orange County. The report recently submitted by the American College of Surgeons stated that, quote, no concerns about the current capacity of the system in current day-to-day operations. And, quote, geographic and population coverage of the county is excellent. While there are certainly improvements to be made in a way data is collected and shared, as well as the inclusion of additional stakeholders to the Regional Trauma Operations Committee, there is no need to expand the number of trauma centers. An expansion to the number of trauma centers would significantly decrease the number of patients treated at our facility, leading to financial difficulties associated with having underutilized staff available at all times. I encourage the committee to carefully consider the recommendations made in the report and the impact they will have when implemented. Those recommendations are consistent with what other recent reports have indicated. We support expanding stakeholder participation and improving data collection by ensuring the healthcare agency has the resources it needs, while at the same time protecting our advanced system. Thank you for your decision today, and we certainly appreciate your support.
Thank you.
Ann Abe.
Good morning. My name is Ann Abe. I'm the Chief Executive Officer for Orange County Global Medical Center, one of the Trauma 2 centers in Orange County. And as a trauma center, we provide services, trauma services, to not only Santa Ana, where we are located, but also the community surrounding Orange County. I am proud of our wonderful team that we have at Orange County Global Medical Center, led by Dr. Umberto Sari, who's here today, as well as our trauma director, Julia Schroffer, and a trauma manager, Jennifer Gonzalez, and our CNO, Ellen Kuhnert. So as a team, we've been able to maintain the high level of care, and it's imperative that we don't dilute the services and coverage by making unnecessary additions to the system. A comprehensive trauma system thrives on carefully executed, calibrated number of hospitals in the area. So again, not enough is bad. But too many, I think we can dilute the volume and we can prevent the trauma centers from really having the necessary resources, because it does take a lot. And to provide this high staff, keep their skills sharpened and honed. So I encourage the committee, please look at the American College of Surgeons report and follow their recommendations of adding additional resources and improve the infrastructure. And as David Gibbs mentioned, Dr. Gibbs, he said that data is important, collecting it, and then performance improvement. And that's what we'd like, as our trauma centers to be better. I mean, that's what we all strive for. So I really appreciate your attention and really look at that report. Thank you.
Thank you.
Humberto Sari.
Hello. My name is Umberto Sari. I'm the trauma director at OC Global. I'm here to speak to you today about the current state of the trauma system in Orange County. And as others have referenced, I encourage the committee to incorporate the changes recommended by the ACS report. We have an excellent trauma system here in Orange County that was begun at Orange County Global Medical Center, among others, back when it was known as Western Medical Center Santa Ana. As stated in the report, the trauma system is very collaborative and committed to improving trauma care in Orange County. But the improvement won't come from diluting the system. When the system is diluted, it impacts the quality of care given to patients. And as the report states, a high-level center must treat a minimum number of injured patients to justify resource expenditure and maintain institutional experience. It's a classic case of not fixing what's not broken. The needs of Orange County residents are being met in a timely and efficient manner with the highest level of care possible. Thanks.
Thank you.
No other public comments?
Great. Any other comments from the committee?
I have one. So is there an opportunity to create an inclusive trauma system here? And I'm not saying more trauma centers. I'm saying all hospitals working together towards a trauma system. And while I agree that the trauma system services that we have in place right now are adequate for the county, there is also an opportunity to have level threes, level four, level five trauma centers. Is that a possibility or even under consideration at this time?
I have to defer to you guys on that.
So we absolutely want to increase the collaboration, especially with the actually, I don't want to say collaboration, the involvement of non-trauma centers in trauma center level decisions. So that was one of the big, I felt, criticisms/takeaways from the report is that even though we have trauma information that's shared at the facilities level, facilities advisory committee, facilities non-trauma reps are not included in the trauma operations committee. So that's where we're looking. We've taken these recommendations, and now how do we operationalize them? So to answer your question of can we, yes. It's just going to take some coordination. As far as looking at level threes and fours, that was looked at when we did the white paper. And I don't know if you want to chime in on threes and fours. I'm going to pull our volunteer emergency physician, Dr. Stratton. But back in 2017, when we started getting inquiries as to volume and catchment and what types of injuries, there was conversation about from hospitals indicating interest in level three. And quite frankly, that took me off guard because we're such a urban area with very low transport times. And, you know, level threes and fours are typically in your areas where they don't have as many resources as we do. So I'll have Dr. Stratton expand on that.
So for the record, Sam Stratton, I'm the formal EMS medical director, in fact, retired almost exactly a year ago. The concept of level three and four trauma centers is more a type of, if you will, organization for rural systems where transport times are large. So, for example, in the Central Valley and Central Coast area in Northern California, level three and four hospitals are common. Usually transport times are at least an hour to a level one or two trauma center. So they're trauma centers that stabilize a patient and then do secondary transfer if they cannot handle the case. And they also do rely heavily on helicopters. One thing we're not able to do here in the urban area of Orange County, simply because of density of population. We do have a lot of helicopter activity up along the mountain ranges and all. So level threes and fours are a rural, if you will, concept to stabilize, and they can't stabilize, most will estimate probably 70% of traumas, but there's a lot of transport in between. Here in Orange County, even, and we're looking at the data now, if you look at the data that we have that's very good about interfacility transports, there's only about 450 a year, probably max, that do not make it to a level one or two. So the first question would be, is there volume for a level three or four? And the second question, of course, is then would you rather have the patients move to optimal, you know, everything available, versus those that have limited availability, for example, neurosurgery and all. That said, if I can just take a few more seconds, the American College of Surgeons made it extremely clear in both breakout sessions and with EMS that the non-trauma centers are not being included. In fact, the emergency medicine representative felt that non-trauma centers were being excluded from trauma operations and most of the trauma. So one recommendation is that the non-trauma centers be able to handle trauma coming in, for example, brought in by a private car, or for example, with pediatrics where they're brought in by the school or somebody else and not through the formal 911 system. So one of the strong recommendations was to hype up, if you will, the involvement of non-trauma centers. And I think that would really address what you're talking about. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Stratton. Good to have you back. And you're looking wonderful in your retirement. So it's great. Staying strong and still have a good attitude. I love it.
Mike?
Yes.
So point of clarification. Who is it that is making the decisions as to how many trauma centers we should have? There is a suggestion by the speakers that somehow this committee is involved in that. My understanding is this committee is an advisory committee to the Board of Supervisors. So help me understand who's making these decisions as to whether or not Fountain Valley or other hospitals that are requesting to become trauma centers are allowed to. And then second, just for the public and for those of us that may not have a full definitional understanding, the difference between a level one, a level two, or for that matter, three or four trauma centers. What is that definition? How do we differentiate that?
Do you think I could have you come back up and explain that, Sam? So why don't you do the definitions first for the different various levels?
So a level one and a level two trauma center, clinically, if you look at, if you're, and I'll have to defer to the trauma surgeons if I'm incorrect, but I'm pretty sure I'm correct. Level one and level two are basically able to provide the same clinical care. They have, for example, extensive neurosurgical capability. They have blood banks that are well stocked. With, like today, we have a blood shortage going. Our trauma centers have to maintain certain volumes of O-negative blood or O-positive blood. And trauma, the level one and level two trauma centers have trauma surgeons that are in-house. So they're right there available in-house or immediately available, like within 15 minutes or so. A level three trauma center may have may not have the same degree of blood and other types of backup available, for example, laboratory backup, may not have pharmacists on duty 24 hours a day, which the level ones and twos do, may not have neurosurgical coverage that's immediately available. And the trauma surgeons usually come in and they have a much longer response time relative to trauma of up to 30 or 40 minutes. Yeah, level four basically is community hospital, and this is really reserved for rural hospitals in the state regulations. A level four has an emergency department that can stabilize a trauma victim and prepare them for transfer to a higher level of care,
The difference between one and two?
The big difference between a level one and two is that a level one hospital produces research. They have higher, if you will, capacity for data analysis. So they're, in essence, an academic scholastically oriented as well as clinically oriented trauma.
Like a UC Irvine would be a level one because they have a academic facility there?
Correct. And they're required to maintain their level one designation to publish, not just generate, you know, reports or slideshows, but they have to publish in what it, medically we call peer-reviewed, journals. Really a large number of papers a year. The level ones also are responsible for training future trauma surgeons, emergency physicians that are capable of handling high-level trauma. And importantly, they also focus heavily on trauma nursing and trauma critical care nursing.
Got it. Thank you. And the decision to add a hospital?
So the it's the healthcare agency through the EMS agency that makes that decision.
So our role as a committee?
Is advisory. So
is
not
advisory.
Only is EMCC advisory to the board, you're advisory to Orange County EMS as well.
So is anybody asking this committee as far as decisions to add hospitals to the trauma system?
No, we're sharing this as informational only.
Okay.
We've done extensive review, the white paper. We've met with agency leadership, and basically it's a medical decision to not move forward with introducing another trauma center at this time, but there's a commitment to relook and do another white paper-esque evaluation in 3 to 5 years.
So this argument that we ought not add more trauma centers to me reminds me of the argument that we ought not add charter schools and other opportunities for kids to be educated because we want to preserve the current government system of education. So I'm certainly no expert, but competition seems to make everybody better, and bringing on board a Fountain Valley Trauma Center, Level 2 Trauma Center, to compete against and to provide additional resources for patients that need to be transported would seem to me that it would make the entire system better, not take away from the system when competition and every other aspect that we're all involved with makes everybody better. It'd be sort of like me saying that we've got enough hamburger joints, so we don't need a McDonald's or an In-N-Out or a Five Guys in your community because the ones that are there are already serving. Now, I get the idea that limited resources are important, but from a patient standpoint, if I live down the street from Fountain Valley Regional Hospital and I'm injured and I call 911 and I need a trauma center, why wouldn't I want to have that on board for me as opposed to having to be transported further? It seems to me that competition makes us all better, not worse, and that should be part of the argument and the consideration for this committee to the extent that we make recommendations to the Board of Supervisors or whoever it is that's in charge that ultimately is giving the thumbs up or thumbs down to add capacity.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I am a trauma expert, so I will comment on the question, and without taking a specific comment on what should or should not happen with respect to Fountain Valley, it is not just a matter of competition because it is a system. And so in reality, there are not only, when we say limited resources, we're not just talking money, but we're talking expertise. And when you have a particular diminution in volume and expertise, your entire system collapses. And so it is true. It is not simply an effort that if you exclude that you get a great system. I mean, that is certainly true. At the same time, it is not a system that is fully in competition with itself. It's a system that is supposed to work together to serve the community. So if I were to just step outside of my lane for a second, it is true that if you have a system that is not serving its capacity, you need more. It's also true that trauma can benefit the individual hospitals that have it. So what the agency is actually trying to do is to balance the needs of the community, the needs of the system, and the needs of the hospital. And then finally, when I say the needs of the community, the needs of the individual. And so to say that a pure competitive model in a healthcare where expertise, where regulation might be philosophically appealing, but practically in terms of trying to run a good trauma system, there actually needs to be struck a balance. And so if there is going to be open discussion, the discussion ought not to focus on, are we in favor of capitalism and competition? I certainly am. Am I interested in preserving an oligopoly? No, I'm not. But what it really ought to be is, what is the proper balance between the need of the individual patient, the need of the whole community, the need of the local community in Garden Grove in that area, and honestly, the needs of the hospitals, because they are stakeholders as well. And so I'm not going to comment individually, but I did want to add in, with my experience in building a trauma program.
I appreciate that, and those arguments sound reminiscent of the arguments made for the public education system, that we ought not add more until we fix and improve that which currently exists.
I would say, again, that education and healthcare are quite different because there is no shortage of students. There is, frankly, a shortage of patients. There's only so many patients out there, and when you fall below that critical number, you have an inability to maintain a system. That's why the level one and level two designations are volume-based and resource-based. So in education, a classroom may cut off at 30, but in a trauma program, especially in an area like Orange County, there are legitimate volume considerations and there are legitimate impacts. And so it's a supply of students in a large community is in some sense infinite. That is not so for a trauma program. And so I think, again, without saying yes or no each way, the analogy doesn't really hold. There are such substantial differences between 100,000, 600,000 children and a trauma program or an adult population of 3 million, where you may have, say, 6,000 injured patients, whereas in a county of 3 million, you may have 600,000 to 700,000 children need to be educated.
Sure.
So there are legitimate capacity issues, and there are maybe 20 trauma neurosurgeons in the county, and there may be hundreds of teachers. Again, I won't keep going on it. I don't want it to be an argument.
We can agree to disagree with, and by the way, we have declining enrollment of our school system in Orange County as well, and we hear the unions and California Teachers Association making very similar arguments that you're making about healthcare. But thank you for your clarification and your expertise.
Certainly. I wouldn't call it an argument, an enlightenment. Like I said, I haven't taken a position on it, but I think I would be remiss if I did not share with everybody what years of lesson have taught. I think we need to define it. It will ultimately be a political decision, I'm sure, but if I'm not giving the benefit of my experience and those of us who do that, I'm not serving the seat I hold, the county or the committee.
Yep, understood.
And I think one other thing to consider is that Orange County EMS really went above and beyond. They could have made this decision independently, but they reached out to the world's experts, the American College of Surgeons and their trauma subcommittees, to come out and do an independent survey and look at the entire system and with the specific question, where are we weak, where are we strong, and do we need more trauma centers? And they came back with a report and an answer that made recommendations, and one of the recommendations is that we are adequately staffed with current trauma centers. So that's hard to throw that out the window and say that they're wrong and we should just make our own independent decision. The reports, if you've read it, we've got a copy here you can have. It's also online. It's very detailed and very informative. It's 93 pages of information, you know, after they surveyed and went and interviewed most all the key stakeholders that are involved in the current trauma system.
Yep. Thank you.
Great.
I'd like to make a quick comment. My name is Art Pedroza. I represent Supervisor Andrew Doe, whose district includes Santa Ana. And I'm glad we're going to be looking at this again in 3 to 5 years, because there's so many high-density apartment projects going up in my city that by then will be up and running, as well as neighboring Orange. So while we have a lot of older residents who are leaving California altogether, a lot of them are heading towards Texas, probably for tax reasons, but I am concerned that in 3 to 5 years, the population picture might be substantially different. So I appreciate the reports. Dr. Gibbs, your comments are great. Thank you very much.
Any other comments or questions? All right. We can move on. Next on the agenda, new business, which is an informational item only, the 911 emergency ambulance transport contract for fiscal year 2020 to 2025.
Just want to let this committee know that the procurement process for this contract is concluded and will be heard at the January 28th Board of Supervisors meeting for final approval. In sum, the healthcare agency recommended approval of care ambulance for regions B through E and emergency ambulance for region A. The five-year contract starts June 1st, and it does contain some enhancements from the prior contract that includes public education initiatives for, rather than just having public education per the region, we've directed the providers to at least have one health program, CPR course, some sort of health program education per city in the region per year. We also increased some vehicle standards and raised our response time standards to ensure expedited delivery to the emergency department. And that's it.
Can I ask just a clarification, because I don't know all the numbers. Is the existing providers going to continue, or is this a change in providers? Or?
No change.
No change. Okay. Great. Thank you. Any questions or comments on that? Next, we'll go to the general public forum if there's anybody that'd like to address the committee. I think we've covered just about everything. And any other member comments? Nope. All right. Our next meeting is Friday, April 10th at 9 a.m. in this building. And thank everybody for attending, both the audience and all the members.